And once they join, they can join in when it goes. So, feel free to start with anything.
Can I ask a question then?
Yeah, sure.
Last time we mentioned after you'd been to Germany, and you were talking to Gina the next day about the, you know, the angel being there, and you're talking about that type of thing being stored in spiritual things being stored in the matter and everything.
Yeah.
I'm just interested in the sort of spiritual climate and how that works. So I've got a place that I can go to that has history with it. Even though I know I don't have to go there, but there is something about it. But then after that last Monday, okay, it was also like God revealed that something else had happened in there. It was a form of child abuse, which kind of knew about. What? So how do you change that, or how does that affect things, both good and bad? Or how does that work in terms of revisiting what happened in Germany?
Okay. Well, I mean, basically everything is recorded, and just like, you know, matter never ceased to exist in one form or another. Even though you can burn a tree, but at the end of the day, it will just turn into ashes and atoms of smoke. So it still exists in one sense. The same thing applies to any fabric. When vibrational frequencies engage it, there is a record which is contained within that, the fabric of it. There's like a vortex within it that contains vibration. So if you think of the space that's in matter, I think the nucleus to the electrons, the distance is normally between like a golf ball nucleus to electrons, which are at the other end of a football pitch, that type of thing. And so if you take out all the space within the atoms of the whole planet, then the planet will be the size of a football, just a very, very heavy one. So within the space, there is the vibrating frequency of strings which keep everything in being, and that's God's voice, which still maintains a connection to the spiritual realm and keeps this realm into order, if you like. He holds all things together by the power of his voice. So within that space, things can be stored. Vibrational frequencies can be stored within that space because it's designed for that. So if you go to a place and your spirit is sensitive, it can pick up the vibrational frequency which is in that place. Biblically, you can see that Abel's blood cried out from the ground. So his blood was in the ground, but so what it was really saying is there is a record of the life that was in him still in the frequency of the ground, which we can pick up. And so everything's recorded. When we engage a place and we feel that sort of cold, sort of shivery feeling, our spirit is really being sensitive to what's actually in a place. And sometimes you go to a place and there's a deposit of blessing. You know, revival places, you know, places that have history with the spirit being outpoured, you can go and you can feel that. I mean, we often talk about, you know, the wells, ancient wells. Well, really, they're not actual wells. They're containers of vibration, of memories stored within the fabric of certain places. And you can tap into that, and you can release it because it's a testimony. And testimonies are for releasing to bring it back into being. So you can reach into those things and unblock them or release them again, you know, if you know what to do. And so when it comes to a situation like that, you go into a place. What do you do? Well, you have to bring a superior frequency into it. You know, when the spirit hovered over the waters, the spirit was creating a sound, a frequency, which brought everything back into order, in that recreated order. So you can release a frequency. When you're aligned with the will of God, you can actually release that from what you say. You can also release it sometimes by laying hands on things. You can release it by really putting oil on them, because oil contains a frequency, fragrant oils, those sorts of things, anointing oil, which when you release that frequency, it can change the frequency of what's in a place. So we can do that within our body, within the cells of our body, within the organs of our body, which are out of alignment. We can actually release frequencies to bring them back into alignment. And so that's when you begin to sense whether things are out of alignment with what God's purpose is for something. Then you can basically speak it back into being by releasing that sound. You have to do it from beyond the veil, in a sense, because you do it in heaven first, and then you can outwork that through you as a gateway of that manifestation on earth, and begin to change things. And okay, so does that sort of make a bit of sense?
It's just practically, you know, what can we do and how do we function in those? Because I can sense stuff, but it's having that practical, what do I do now?
Well, what I would do is, if it's a specific place, a room or a building, you know, I would go into the realms of heaven, and I would get a mandate to be able to deal with that. Because just because you know something is there doesn't mean you have the authority to deal with it.
Okay, yeah.
So if it's outside of your sphere, then you need to get a mandate. If it's like this is your house, and you found a room in your house, then you have authority over your house because it belongs to you, and you have your mountain which is over those things. If it's, I don't know, let's say it's a room somewhere else or something that you found, I would always go and get a mandate from God, because often we sort of blunder into things and we assume just because we've seen something then we can deal with it, and that gets people into trouble. Because if there were certain things done, I mean, if you're talking about heavy duty things, satanic ritual abuse, and when there's sacrifice being made in a place, you just can't wade in thinking you can just undo that. You have to have a greater sacrifice. So you, to do that, you have to carry that within your heart and have nurtured that place within your heart, so then you have administrative authority over it. And that doesn't happen in an instant. You have to cultivate that. And as you do that, then you begin to engage that desire for that transformation to have authority and to administer it, and you can get a mandate from God to do it. And then you go to your mountain, or you may go and get angels and assign angels to do their stuff, because sometimes, because of what's happened here, there is stuff in the atmosphere over a place which has adapted culture or changed things over that place or that area, and you have to... Yeah, I mean, I always assign angels to deal with that, because I'm not interested in going into the atmosphere of the earth to clear it. They do that. But I can then become a gateway to administer that. And once I have a mandate, then I can walk into that place and I can do whatever God shows me. Now, usually what I would do is I would go to my mountain, take in the mandate, and then I would allow my spirit to release that mandate. That may mean I declare some things. I may prophesy some things out of God's desire for that place. I may bind that place to the purposes of God. I might loose it from everything that's been there into the fabric, and I would speak that out. I will call things that be not as if they were. I will begin to just whatever my spirit directs me to do for my mountain, I will do. And then I will step into, if I go into that place, then I will administer whatever it is God shows me to do. I might, you know, when I've gone into places like that, I take anointing oil and I anoint the gateways and the doorposts, and I declare freedom. I speak into the frequency with the freedom that comes out of the heavenly perspective to release the trauma that's happened, to release out of that place. Sometimes I will pour out oil and wine. It just depends totally on what you're guided by the spirit to do, because you have to come in the opposite spirit to the things that were done, and you have to minister out of that opposite spirit so that you can begin to cleanse, to release the frequency which is stored and replace it. And it's important. You can't leave a house cleansed and unfilled, because Jesus said, if you leave a house empty, seven worse will come back. So you have to make sure you fill it, which means you release its destiny, which is why you have to carry it in your heart. So there may be something specific that the enemy has done, because God's got a purpose for that place. And you release the purpose of that place, and you speak that blessing, which is the empowerment for the fulfillment of God's purpose, into that atmosphere and into the fabric of the being, replacing what was there. So you prophesy into it, its destiny. You call forth what the purposes of God are. You may do all those things. Now, you know, I'm just learning this stuff. You know, it's not, I've gone into rooms and blundered my way through various things in the past, and God has been very gracious. But I now understand a lot more, and I understand a lot more of how to do those things. So now, you know, they become more effective, you know, because I understand what I'm doing. Before, I was just winging it, really, and hoping that in the name of Jesus something would happen. But now I actually can stand in the name of Jesus and speak out from the face of the name of Jesus, then I actually can administer in that way. And therefore, if you're coming from the perspective of the four faces of God, you then bring that into that area. So if there is chaos and that place has had chaotic stuff go on, then you bring order into chaos. You know, you bring the prophetic sense and speak the prophetic purposes of God. You release apostolic foundations to call forth that things back into order. And you administrate as a priest. And sometimes you can release through tongue groanings and intercessions that begin to align things back. Sometimes you release the compassion of God, particularly where it's related to people, because most things are not just neutral things. They're people related. So you may need to go to the courts and get some specific authorizations, because if there's sacrifice been made, we need to undo that. So we may need to stand on behalf of those that were influenced by that or affected by it, particularly if, you know, you get Masonic things get done in things and things like that. Sometimes you do need court authorization to remove the legal rights. It's something God's showing and teaching us how to do now. There we go.
Mike, is that the same? You're actually speaking and explaining some stuff that I've done in the past, and I won't mention anything specific because some of it's still ongoing. But is that the same as what you would describe as terraforming, or is that something different?
Well, essentially what you're doing is you're bringing a place back into its created purpose. And in a sense, you're looking to manifest heaven on earth. Now, most of what we're doing in those things is undoing what has been done, so that what God's purpose is can then be released. So a lot of the sort of the groundwork is to prepare for terraforming. You cannot bring heaven to earth when the enemy's got a legal right over a place or in a situation or even a person. You have to deal with the legal rights first, so that then you can release the creative capacity of God and the image, the reflection of the image that's in heaven, to manifest on earth, to see it outworked. And so for that to take place, you need to know what the pattern of it is, you know, because that pattern of what God spoke and what God's voice says, you then can release to bring transformation. And that can actually change something physically and can bring something into heavenly alignment. Now, most of what we're doing at the moment is spiritually preparing for things, but I believe we will be using the capacity to change and transform things physically as well as spiritually. But we need to learn to do the spiritual part of it, so that then we can begin to manifest the physical part of it once we're used to how that works. you know, once we know how God creates and how the spirit uses frequency and how that vibration and that brooding brings things together, then we can release that. But it takes time. You know, you can't cultivate the desire of God for something if you don't carry that within your heart, and that takes time to cultivate. You know, and that's where you have to put in the work, really. You know, it takes time to develop the desires so that we release those desires from our hearts. It doesn't just happen. Hence, most people don't carry enough in their hearts to govern. But there will be greater dimensions of it, because what God's purpose is obviously to restore creation to its original purpose. And therefore, we need to look at the end and the beginning, and to begin that, to frame that into the day, to change it. And that's the sort of the circular Hebrew pattern of things. We look into eternity, look into before the fall, see what God's intention and purpose was for a place or whatever it might be, and then we can then draw that into the present with also the respect of the future. Because, you know, the end and the beginning, they meet, and you can see the end and you can see the beginning, but we have to manifest it now. And that does take, you know, I think people think it, well, yeah, that's really easy, I can do that. It's not. You know, you have to spend time cultivating desire for that. You know, if I don't carry anything in my heart, I have no administrative authority over it. And I might even be given authority by God in a sense of that is my sphere. But if I've not cultivated my sphere and the desires of my heart aren't aligned with what God says and what my destiny says, then I will be divergent in that God says one thing but my heart says another. So I need to bring them into alignment so that desires of my heart can be fulfilled. And it's like a tree of life, you know. But that takes time to do.
And that's an ongoing process, because there are a number of places where we have gone and where I have been part of people going to cleanse the land and do work, and we haven't yet seen the fullness of what God has promised, or what we felt could come. So, I mean, three times we walked around our borough and we've seen some things happen, but we seem to have hit a glass ceiling. So, you know, would people need to repeat that thing, repeat that? I mean, obviously, the people who went still hold the borough in their hearts, but we're not seeing the fullness of everything we know is available, that we've seen in the spirit that we're going for. Hmm. So do we need to repeat the, you know, or just get another strategy from heaven and run with that?
Well, what I would suggest is that a lot of people have done prayer walking and have engaged the land, and they've walked around and they've made declarations, but most of them didn't do it from in heaven first. They're not doing it from a mountain of authority in heaven. They've done it as because they live there, because they desire something in their heart for that place, but they haven't gone beyond the veil and actually administered it there. And I think God is now taking things from the old way of doing things, which was to do things in this realm and ask God to come and do something or to clear the atmosphere or to, you know, we tended to pray asking God to hear us and God to come and do it. But actually he's called us to do it from heaven. And so I believe that a lot of the things that were revelation over the past 20, 30 years, which brought us to a point of recognizing the spiritual dynamics, we now have to administer those spiritual dynamics from a new perspective and an order. And that means going into the realms of heaven and administering it there, because that's where the authority lies. And then you can then, what you see there, when you go around the ark and you look into the beginning and you look into the end and you nurture that and you carry the frequency for it, you can release that frequency through the crowns, the crown that you carry with the stones that carry revelation, and you can begin to release that as a river from your own life into, and we need to engage the angels to clear the atmosphere. Personally, I don't think any of that stuff really worked. But I think God was teaching us to recognize what actually it was so that we can then come from a higher place of authority and deal with it. Because you also have to deal with that which is in the realms of heaven that are providing spiritual hindrances and opposition, which is the giants and the dragons. You know, you can try and deal with principalities and powers, but they are empowered by giants and dragons. And if you haven't dealt with their realms of the kingdom of God in heaven, in the realms of heaven, then you're only trying to remove the middlemen, and actually the higher authority will just replace it. And also, if you don't actually address what the cultural issues are on Earth that create this cycle, effectively you have three things in a sort of a vicious circle, if you like. You have the things that are on Earth, which empower the things in the atmosphere, which empower that which is above, and then that which above empowers the atmosphere to empower those things on Earth to create culture. So you have culture that's created within an area, which sometimes is happened because of what man has done initially to set up something which is there as a record, and then that then the enemy draws to that and begins to manifest that in the atmosphere because it's operating in the realms of heaven over those governmental spheres. So they all work together, and so somewhere you have to break the cycle, and if you break the cycle in the realms of heaven and deal with the dragons and giants, but actually people continue to do what they've always done, and there's no change in attitudes and behaviors of Christians. I'm not talking about people who aren't Christians, because they haven't got any governmental authority. They've given that to the enemy. That's where the enemy is operating. So we have to not operate in any way in the same spirit of that which is the culture, of that which is in the atmosphere, of any principalities or powers or rulers of darkness. We must make sure that in our hearts are pure. So then we have the right, you know, because we have no rights if the enemy can look and say, oh, I've got that in you, that's operating in you. So they must recognize our authority. And when we step into the realms of heaven, we are righteous. And that gives us the power to make holy choices to change behavioral patterns and things that actually we do. And so we then begin to dismantle this system of worship that has been set up. Because whenever we comply or do something within the enemy's way, or we operate out of fear, then we're just worshiping and creating an opportunity for those things in the realms of heaven to occupy our spheres of authority. So we must make sure that we deal with them in each level. You know, we can deal with them on earth and in heaven. I believe that we need to assign angels to deal with the atmosphere of the earth now. I think we will occupy it. You know, I've been in there and had a look in certain things and have had access to go. But we need to learn how to administer the kingdom from our mountains of authority so that we can exercise authority. And exercising authority is that others recognize that authority and act on our behalf, you know. And so we can effectively do that. But, you know, it's a process that I think we're basically learning, you know. We're learning that process. We're not understanding all yet, but I think we're gaining more and more understanding and revelation about it. And so I think it's not that we will redo those things that we've done in prayer walking and administering that stuff. It's just we will operate in a higher authority, and we'll deal with the things at a higher authority level, which will enable those things we've already done to be more effective. And God may well give us something direct to do if we're, you know, over an area or a borough or a city or a town. There are levels of understanding of the things that have gone on in history, and, you know, lie busting a place can be useful, because basically we're asking God to give us information about what are the issues in a place. taking that to the courts will give us access to find out what the accusations are, what the legal rights are, and then we can get a mandate and be separated from those things. We put them all together and you've got a whole load of tools that can help in the process of basically taking back authority and establishing heaven on earth again, you know. But we have to see what was it that God intended, you know, what was in the heart of God for a place. Because that's really what we can release. We can release that which we've seen from the destiny of a place, which we carry in our hearts. You know, we can't just go calling things that be not as if they are, if they aren't designed in the purposes of God. Otherwise, we'll just create something after our image, not after God's. And so we need to make sure we can see what it is God's showing, really.
Thank you. That's really helpful.
I don't think anything is wasted with God. He redeems everything. So we when we operated in the revelation knowledge we had, and now we've got greater knowledge, He will use what we've already done with the greater knowledge we have to see an outworking of that multiplied or manifested in a greater dimension. Yeah, so long as we're willing to embrace a higher realm of authority to administer it. You know, if we keep doing things like we've always done them, then we'll always get the same results that we always got, which aren't good. You know, because we may have prayer walked and done amazing things, but we've not seen transformation take place to the dimension of, hey, this looks like heaven. And so, you know, I would say that that's why we need to establish, you know, cities of refuge, administration centers of the kingdom, revival centers, apostolic resource centers, from which we can begin to take ground, because they are connected to heaven. And they are actually manifestations of heaven on earth, where, you know, we live in health, where we live in blessing, where we are living under the laws as an embassy of heaven on earth, living under the laws of heaven on earth. Now that's what I believe God is doing in setting up the order of Melchizedek, in setting up us operating from the four faces of God, engaging the art, looking from the end and the beginning, and beginning to manifest in actual reality. That will be a place of amazing transformation. But, you know, I've said recently quite a lot, that's just the place of administration to take more ground. You know, and the whole purpose is to bring heaven's pattern on earth, to take what would have been the garden and see that garden subdue, fill the earth, and rule over it. You know, and that's going to take a totally different dimension of authority than we've been used to operating up till now, which is why we need to be operating in heaven, you know, and in the realms of the kingdom, so that we can administer that. But it's good. I mean, it's good. We're on the right path. We're on the right journey. You know, God is releasing the revelation around the world. If we draw that revelation together, we can find how to administrate these things. You know.
Are you seeing that on the earth in places?
Well, I think we are seeing some places like that in different dimensions. You know, I think you would say something like Bethel would be a dimension of a manifestation of heaven on earth in terms of healing and wholeness and different things that are going on, although not in necessarily the fullness of everything, but there is a starting point. It's whether they will be willing to then embrace something new to go with the revelation they've already got. Now, I'm sincerely hoping and praying that they will, because that's their whole thing of passing the baton, of not sticking with what you've got, progressive revelation, so that it will go beyond what they're releasing right now into a fuller perspective of government. But they're certainly on the right track. Now, you know, they may well be ahead in certain ways. you know, certain things that we're doing here, we are seeing a manifestation of a blueprint from heaven to engage the community. So we're active in what we're doing and seeing results in that, and we're beginning to see influence and godly influence take place, and we're influencing things that go on in policy and procedure, because we're bringing righteousness and justice into situations. So we're administering the kingdom, you know, but that is just the beginning. You know, a city of refuge is going to have to operate in a totally different dimension of authority in that, and literally heaven is going to need to overlap earth, because we will be living in heaven on earth at the same time, you know, in the sense, because it will be totally overlapping, you know, but God's preparing us for it, you know, so that when the shaking comes of different things, we're ready, you know. And, you know, I've seen some of that shaking. God's given me some revelation of that, which I, you know, I'm not sharing particularly, but we need to be ready, you know, but we've got time to get ready. God is not going to do something if we're not ready. So there need to be forerunners. That's why we're looking to embrace this as forerunners, so that we can be ready to equip whoever comes behind and open up a door for them to go through, and engage this stuff quicker and easier and more effectively, so that they can go further than we. Because, you know, Joshua and Caleb were great. They took the land, they took Hebron, and they took the mountain country, and they dealt with those things, but they didn't actually go any further. David took it further in terms of expanding the influence, but there will be no end to the increase of his government, you know. And so on this, basically the government of God will rest on our shoulders to administer that. And so we need to see the world and then beyond the world as our goal, not just, you know, a small piece of land or even a, you know, a nation. It's the world, you know. That was what Adam's initial mandate was. It is still that, you know, both physical and spiritual. So we need to cleanse the heavens, you know. We need to get rid of those things that are there empowering what's going on in the atmosphere and what's going on in the earth, you know. So we have to bring light into that so that we manifest light. But I think you know, my view is that God is calling those forerunners. I think the sound has been issued out of heaven over the last few years. People are responding to that sound. They're resonating with it. They don't understand everything of it, but they know something is calling them. Deep is calling unto deep. I think that's what it is. It's that sound of the waterfall, that deep things of God are calling out to the deep things in our spirit that are saying, this is you. This is who you are. This is who you were always created to be. You were created to be creative. You know, you were created to rule and bring dominion. You know, you were created to terraform. You were created to birth galaxies from your being. You were created for that. And creativity exists within us. We just have to connect it with the God, the power of God, to release it, you know. And people are learning different aspects of it, and we need to be eclectically drawing together those aspects so that we can actually give a fuller picture, which is, you know, what I feel called to do. You know, I love drawing together various things from everywhere, you know, and seeing how they fit together so that other people can see the bigger picture and then begin to outwork it, you know, which is the purpose, you know, these alpha groups and things like that. The whole purpose of it is that let's actually draw together the revelation that God is releasing so that we can follow the pathway and we can begin to administer these things, you know. Yeah, we're just touching the surface of it, if you like, but things can happen really quickly once you really embrace something and pursue it, you know. And I think a lot of us have spent enough time in the wilderness to know we want to cross over into another dimension. Those that have spied out the land know it's a good place. Even though we're going to have to deal with the dragons and giants, it belongs to us. They owned nothing in the wilderness. They kept moving around because God was reminding them, this does not belong to you. You have no ownership of this. But the promised land did belong to them. It was there to own, to possess. And those, some of them obviously chose to go in, and the next generation followed, you know. And I think that's, fortunately, we've not just got one Joshua and Caleb, we have a generation that God is raising up who are hearing the sound and are called to be forerunners, which is great, you know, because it means we can multiply everything that was done. So, yeah, there we go. Okay.
Thank you. That's really, really helpful.
Okay. Anything else?
Yeah. I would. Yeah, I also found that they're very helpful, but maybe a little bit more specific now to the situation here. What you released on Sunday morning, would you then kind of on a daily basis call forth the new order or the fathers and mothers, or would you just do it when the Holy Spirit reminds you? Would this be more a daily responsibility for me?
Okay. If you're looking at in terms of a specific, let's say Germany, what God is saying he's doing, I do feel some responsibility for what I did. and I was reminded that, you know, what you dispossess you have to occupy. And I believe that what needs to take place now is the raising up of those who are willing to take responsibility for their regions in Germany spiritually. So I believe, for me, my role was to release that prophetically, to call it into being, to speak it out. We dealt with the dragon, the white dragon. Now, is that what I'm doing now is sending angels out with those crowns, with the swords, with the staffs, to rest upon those that need to respond to the call of God, for them to carry that in their own hearts and then begin to birth that as fathers and mothers for the next generation. So I'm still doing that. You know, I'm longing for, you know, people to come forth who will take responsibility for the nation and feel called to the nation. And again, I'm not saying this has to be people who are recognized. God is using nameless, faceless people. It's not necessarily people who have got great ministries. It's people who know that they're called and will take responsibility to act in the realm of heaven. They may never be known, but that matters not a jot if you're recognized and known in heaven, because that is where the authority lies. And so I'm looking for those people to emerge. You know, it's not, things like this don't happen overnight. You know, but the seeds have been sown and the momentum is shifted so that there is an opening for people to be, to start to embrace that. And so, you know, if you want to do something, then I would encourage you to, again, in taking Germany into your own heart, or taking your region into your heart, whatever you feel called to do, and then begin to administrate that. You know, seek for the mandate that is for you and what you need to do. And that may be a strategy that God will give you. It may come out of the groups. There's a number of people from Germany, obviously, who have responded to these groups. My desire would be to equip them to be able to take responsibility, you know, because that's the goal in this ultimately, is out of relationship to take responsibility for that which is ours to administrate it. And so, you know, you can't rush things and try and create Ishmael situations. Because, you know, our natural eyes would always pick someone like Saul over someone like David. Because Saul looked like a king. He was huge, hugely bigger than everybody else. Blah, 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 blah. David looked like a little boy. David's heart was a heart after God. And so even in the family, Samuel did not anoint the elder sons, those that were in the army. He anointed David. And so that is what we must be looking for, you know, to those that God has called. And so we don't look with natural eyes to think, oh, okay, that guy's got really great influence because he's got this ministry that has access to lots of people, and he must be the one that we're going to, you know, call forth or trying to engineer that he will take this call. If we do that, then we'll end up with a load of mess. We must see this done in the realm of the Spirit, and God will begin to call and draw those people, and those that are willing to take responsibility, he will release. You know, and there are many people who God desired to do things who did not choose to accept the call. And so he chose somebody else. You know, he's done that with me before. You know, and I know, I think, you know, talking to several people, they have known that they were not the first choice, because God had someone else, but they did not surrender and come into agreement. So he chose someone who was willing. So if we're willing, then we can present ourselves to God and see what God will do, you know. You know, because I've been not very willing to do lots of things until, you know, till I got to the point of I just have to give up, you know. But I'm learning to be more willing quicker, you know. So with the situation with Germany, I would just keep ministering into it, keep calling things forth, asking God to give you anything he wants to do. You know, on my part is, you know, I'm just releasing the angels right now to go out with the message and to release that sound. You know, and that's what I feel to call to do at the minute. But, you know, God, people will respond, you know, because I know I would not appoint an adventure three in an earthly sense without having established them in heaven first. And I've had to go back and do several things that have been done in an earthly sense without having been done in heaven, and they were premature. Appointing people to benches of three who are not on their mountains in heaven and not operating in that realm is not good. And I've had to deal with some of that, and we need to do things in its right order. You know, you appoint someone to a bench of three and they're, oh, well, yeah, I'm the bench of three over Wales or Scotland or England or whatever it might be, and they are not operating in heaven, they're going to end up with a difficult situation. You know, so, you know, I think God, you need to do things in godly order, really. There we go.
Just on that, Mike, when you were talking about appointing benches of three, how it's not about qualification, I know, because in one sense we all qualify on a foundational level, but how would you, not identify, but how would you know that someone is actually moving in their mountains? I mean, obviously, it's obvious in business if someone's a CEO or something like that, but in the, you know, I don't know, perhaps in prayer or in prophecy, if we're not looking for the obvious, how do we pick out or discern or, yeah, identify those that might be potentially, and just encourage them to try and engage with that?
Yeah. Again, there are many different levels of benches of three. You know, so, you know, I am at the very base level of a bench of three in my own life, because I have spirit, soul, and body coming into alignment in my own life, so that I can operate as a bench of three for my own life, and bring unity and blessing and government through my own life. I'm also part of a bench of three for church here, which has a specific sphere of influence that has been given, and so, you know, you wouldn't expect anyone to have that level of bench of three authority within a church if they weren't part of that church. They have to be part of it. They have to be carrying it in their heart, you know, and to become that level of authority, you have to work at it. You know, it's like, in a sense, you know, we're talking about something that a lot of people don't even understand or even recognize yet, but it will always, my view is, there will always be somebody who is called with a blueprint, an apostolic blueprint from heaven. Whether it's for a church, because it's founded on the foundation of apostles and prophets. So you have the two forming an arc to manifest something on earth. You obviously have the kingly and the priestly function in heaven also forming an arc so that they can pattern one to the other. And so my personal experience is that someone will carry the blueprint. They'll carry that within their hearts. They'll know that they've been called. And that person will begin to call forth the others. You know, they will begin to release that out, minister from their throne, send angels out, whatever it is, to identify who is called. Now, in a church situation, you know, in our situation, we had a group of leaders, 12 leaders, who were meeting together, and you know, I went before the throne of God, before the ark, and I asked God for revelation, because Jesus, when he wanted to appoint the apostles, went up into the mountain, and he went into the mountain of God, and he had the revelation from there of who to appoint for God's purposes. And one of them who he appointed had a purpose different from the other 11, but they were still appointed with a purpose, and God's purpose in that was outworked, you know. And so we need to be aware that God's purposes for things are often for our long-term benefit, not necessary for short-term pleasure. And so there are ways in which you do that. I got the two names of the people. I then asked the group, who feels called to this? Now, we've been talking about it and been exploring it for quite a while. So it was a matter of, okay, who feels called to this? Two people responded. Fortunately, they were the two people that God had shown me. So that was always a help. You know, if five people had responded, I'd be okay. But it was good. Those two people felt called, but felt totally inadequate and ill-equipped. And so they did not accept the position until we worked through creating a culture of honor and in relationship of trust, so that the three of us could then basically have unified hearts carrying the vision that God had given, having different roles within the vision, because we do, you know, we have a kingly and a prophetic and an apostolic gifting within our bench of three. We also have ruler, teacher, prophet, and prophet with as redemptive gifts. So it gives a good balance and a good mix. It took us 4 or 5 months to work through the issues of trust, developing openness, honesty, transparency, getting everything on the table, dealing with past issues, dealing with issues of lack of trust, so that those two accepted their role. And they got to a point where it was like, okay, I know I'm called, now actually I'm willing. And then we together stepped into heaven. Jesus invested us with authority, gave us what we needed, and gave us individual roles within the bench. Now we have to operate unanimously in everything. So if I bring a blueprint, which I tend to do, because that's my function, I go and get blueprints, I go and see stuff, I bring it to the other two, we share it, we then step into heaven together with it and establish that together. If we're not in unity, and we're not, if it's like, well, I'm not sure about this yet, then we wouldn't do that. We would wait. But generally what happens is, because we're one heart with one another, we resonate with each other. And so when one person brings one aspect of the picture, I resonate with it, even though I didn't see it that way. And they resonate with the things I bring, so that we can have a fully formed, and what God does, I used to carry the weight of everything. you know, and actually it was a heavy weight, you know, which I was not ever supposed to carry on my own, but I carried it for years, you know. Even though we had leadership and even we had different things, no one really wanted to carry the responsibility that I had. So I carried it. So when the three of us came together, it was just like two-thirds of the burden was lifted off, and now the burden's easy. It's light. It's not heavy anymore because it's being carried by three of us. So we carried that responsibility together, and we find that we honor the different parts that we bring. So when we step into heaven together now, that we go and look at our scroll or we go and look at something specific, we will always bring a part of the picture. And when we put it together, we get the full jigsaw, you know, which is great for me because then now I'm only responsible for my bit, whereas I was trying to have to do the other bits, which I was not necessarily gifted to do. You know, so now it works really well, and we regularly engage that, and we share our hearts with one another, and we begin to function that way. Now, that was easier in one sense because there were very clear boundaries to who could be involved in this because we're a church and we operate that way. I'm also operating locally in a bench of three. Again, I was given the authority to carry something which other people recognized, but again, it was a heavy weight, really. And now, having shared the vision over the last couple of years and continually put the vision out there and continually given people an opportunity to respond to the vision, to respond to the new ways God is calling us to do things, it was very clear that two people responded to that and the others didn't. And so I again went before God, looked for a mandate. I spoke to those two people and just said, what do you feel? Do you feel called to this area? Do you feel that God has placed you here for the long haul? And they both said yes. Now we are now working through the relational areas, because we come from different church backgrounds. We're working through the relational things. Things are starting to come up. It's like, you know, we're beginning to establish this process, and you know, we're going to pursue it. I also am involved in a regional group, which, again, formed by several people. I shared a vision that I saw with a group of leaders in the area, Southwest, shared this vision that I saw. Someone else responded to that vision and felt that they needed to call three people together just to come and talk. And they did. They contacted three people. Each of us responded to what they said because we felt we resonated with what was being said. And we came together and we just hung out. Essentially, we just came, chatted, shared our hearts, got to know each other, shared our testimonies, began to share things God was doing, and we found things were shifting in the heavens. You know, things began to shift. And then the second time we met, you know, I went into heaven to say, okay, what is the mandate for this group? Is there a mandate for this? And God said, yeah, your mandate is to be a regional apostolic council. So I'm like, okay. So I brought that to the others, the two. So look, I think this is what this group is supposed to be. I believe this is what God has said. This is what we should call it. No one knows that we're doing that, you know, other than the few people around each of us who's aware that we get together. Because it's not about looking for, okay, how can we do something on earth? It's about how we can engage heaven. And so we've engaged several times with the angel of the Southwest, which is a massive angel. You know, that angel has one foot on the south coast and one foot on the north, which is about 75 miles across. So it is enormous, you know, but we've engaged with it. We know its name. We know its purpose. And we're in the process of cooperating with that and taking responsibility for God's purposes for our region, now we've had to work through an awful lot. You know, an awful lot of issues came up, particularly around certain doctrinal things, some of the issues that are going around the country right now, setting up potential divisiveness between groups of people. We had to work through those things, had to deal with some pretty difficult situations, but again, we've established relationship, and we've worked things through relationally, and we are now, we've stepped into heaven together, we've been invested with authority in the realms of heaven, we operate differently again with different gifts and different ways we do things, but actually we're beginning to take shape. Now, it's a slower thing because I only get together with those guys once every month, whereas I get together with a bench of three locally every couple of weeks and in the church every week. So the more time you're able to invest, the greater the sort of the capacity that you begin to carry. So, you know, I think it will always be somebody who's called, or like regionally, we all knew that we were called. You know, we just responded when someone said, hey, you need, let's get together. And we knew it was God calling us together. So I think people will begin to respond to these calls, but there's usually someone who carries an apostolic blueprint who will begin to birth something of this, whether it's in a church or a region or a town or the nation. You know, I think it's, in a sense, Wales and Scotland and Ireland all have an identity. And so there's a sense where those benches of three, they already know their sort of identity as a nation, whereas England is a right mess. You know, basically it's a bit of this, that, and the other from all over. You know, you've got, you know, Vikings. You've got Vikings who ended up as Normans, and then you have Angles and Saxons and Danes and a mess of mixture, which means I think England struggles with identity. And I think God is actually dealing with identity and raising up people who know their identity and can recognize their redemptive identity as a nation so that we can establish that. You know, but again, what God is doing, we're in a process and a journey with, you know. But it's fun. It's a fun process. It's good to explore these things. You know, there may be different levels of things that get operating in a nation. You know, for me, each bench is responsible for seven mountains, and each seven mountains is responsible for seven mountains. So there's a whole level of authority that needs to be governed to establish the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. It's not just going to happen with three people coming together. They then have to call for the, what are the seven mountains? You know, what are the seven mountains of Wales? What are the seven mountains of Scotland? What are the seven mountains of Ireland? And I was privileged to be involved in Ireland when we released those seven mountains from within where they had been robbed and different things, which was a privilege. You know, they have those, the benches in those areas then need to call forth those people. I seek God's identification of those people, so we can see this multiplied out. So there's sort of multi-leveled layers of this stuff that will eventually be administered. Now, the key is it's not administered top-down. It's ministered bottom-up. So if you're a bench, you lay a foundation for others to stand on, and so that you nurture and release them into authority. You know, you may operate from a higher level of spiritual authority, but you do it as a servant, and you serve those that you want to release. You don't rule over the top of them. You serve from below, and that's always the inverted sense of the kingdom. And anybody who's thinking, wow, I'm the bench of three and I'm going to tell everyone what to do, you know, forget it, because that's not what it's about. It's releasing people into their destiny. It's releasing the mountains, you know. And you have to carry that within your heart. You know, you have to carry it within your heart. For me, there's a level of authority in the kingdom that you need before you go establishing benches of three. It's a level of chancellorship. And there are some, Ian would be one who yeah, has been given that authority as a chancellor. There are probably others. That's not a level of government you accept lightly, because you get access to other things with that. But God is raising those things up, because then they can release people and encourage people and support people in what they're doing. But it's good fun. You know, I think it's interesting to see what God is doing in different places around the world. Some physical places, some more spiritual dynamics towards vision or things that God is calling into being. But people are beginning to respond, you know. So yeah, that basically it, I think.
Okay. Thanks ever so much. That's really all right. Helpful. Thank
all
you.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's.